of the Year, a 2006 American political satire, written and directed by Barry Levinson, starring Robin Williams, also starring Christopher Walken, and the Jurassic Park team, Laura Linney and Jeff Goldblum, reunited in this film about a comedian that runs for president and wins, sort of, this week
Yeah.
on Black Eyes on White Movies. Yeah, right? Sort of.
Definitely sort of.
I mean, if we jump right into the movie, which we are wont to do, and that is our prerogative, that's where this movie fell short. It did not deliver on its own premise. It became this like thriller, political, chase. It just became a whole different movie.
Yeah. It was intriguing, right? Because it was a comedy, quote unquote. You
It
know
was
what
a
I mean? Like,
comedy in that it had Robin Williams.
right.
Lewis Black tried to deliver some funny lines, but his stand-up wasn't really, maybe it was hitting in 2006. It wasn't hitting today.
Yeah, I do feel like a lot of the comedy actually in this probably was a lot funnier in 2006.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like political satire, I get it. But yeah, it definitely did at some point like kind of fall away, and Christ, so earnest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just too earnest to be about politics.
Yeah. Really, really. It was kind of from another era in that sense. So obviously this is very like actually ends up being quite a relevant movie. This is right after 2024 election. A somber time in many respects for a lot of people. And so this movie was right at the time Jon Stewart was making The
Yeah.
Daily Show like must see TV
Right.
during the Bush administration. He was super popular. He was just ripping the Republicans and critical of Democrats too, but really doing great political satire, questioning, asking the questions on the public's mind at the time. If you're younger, 35 or younger, probably, you might not realize how monumental this show was for a time.
So much so that, I mean, they also mentioned Bill Maher a number of times within the name, space of the movie, but like also, like Jon Stewart and that Daily Show were so big that it's not spawned because Bill Maher already had a show, but it like created a lane for like the secondary, like runner-up shows like a Bill Maher and some of the others, you know what I mean?
And anybody you see on social media doing political commentary probably owes something to Jon Stewart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about Jon Stewart and Bill Maher, like, or they're literally people from that era, you know what I mean?
They might
Still
be, yeah.
active.
Yeah. Like they set the stage for kind of the everyman asking questions about politics
For sure.
and commentating and cutting up clips and articles and presenting them to the audience to show like how, the other side is two-faced or making mistakes or whatever, or saying dumb things on all that clipping really from The Daily Show, especially to make it like funny or to put it together in an entertaining way.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm thinking like, man, oh, this is right when Stephen Colbert got his show too.
Yeah, because he came.
In 2005, the Colbert Report.
Right. And this movie was 2006. So,
Yeah, he was right on the
they were definitely projecting out, like, what if, Jon Stewart ran for president? And I think there was talk about that at different times during his run. But he never entertained it. And then we had Obama. It was like, what? John who?
Right.
And I think that's this movie just kind of plays that out. But like I said, as a movie, it's a little disappointing because it doesn't play that out. It becomes this like thriller where the lady that works at the company that with these new voting machines found there was an error. So he didn't really win the popular vote. But the whole premise is a comedian runs for presidency. So we either needed to live in a campaign
Yeah.
or see a comedian be president. And like whether he does a good or a bad job, that's up to the writer to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But we just needed to see that more and not him be like, oh, it's like questioning the integrity of somebody if he should do it.
Yeah.
Which I have actual like moral questions about that, because I don't know. I think even with the knowledge, if he feels like he's the best guy to be president, and just stay president. I don't know. Like
Yeah, right.
sometimes I think the morals of these old stories are like, even if you're good, stay hidden. And then somebody who's terrible becomes in charge. I think we've kind of peddled some of the wrong lessons in these kind of fables sometimes.
I would agree with that. I don't think some of those lessons always link up to reality or logic in that kind of way. And I think there's also something about this film that is the ultimate, especially of the era, but I would say even now, is the ultimate American political fantasy, which is
For sure.
the independent, straight talking guy. You know what I mean? Like, if you, there's, what is that show? Designated Survivor, which, well written TV sh action
All right.
political TV show with Kiefer Sutherland. And I think that his character, the president, is also named Tom something, very similar to Tom Dobbs. But again, it's like he's an independent and he stands apart from the Republicans and the Democrats. And it's like that doesn't exist. But in movies and TV.
Truly. And it's really like but what we've come to is like the candidate that best positions themselves as that within the party system kind of is who emerges, I think even going back to Obama, and that's kind of Trump's appeal. Why? Who knows? But the average person, the working person who voted for him somewhere in the world, in America, sees him like that. Despite what he might actually say, he'll say that, but they're like, oh, straight talking rebel, and that, America, we have such an affinity for that. And I think that's a big message of this movie. Unintended, it's like, oh, the Jesse James, the outlaws, that's the American spirit,
Well, even thinking about the time in which the movie came out, like, that was kind of the whole thing with George W. Bush, especially versus John Kerry, which was only been 2 years before this movie, probably made directly after or written during the time of that whole election campaign, right? And the whole thing about like John Kerry seeming like a overeducated, New England elite, but George W. Bush, whose family is New England aristocracy going back to Pocahontas, somehow seems like a straight talking, shoots from the hip sort of guy. You know what I mean? It's
The guy whose dad was president
right.
and
And
vice president.
grandfather was a senator.
Like, literally grew up in politics, but because he's a little slow, and I mean, he was a little dumb, he seemed like just a regular guy from Texas. Not from Texas, but governor of Texas somehow. It's like, Americans fall for the bait and switch, bro, all the time. This is crazy. And then people are
And
like, but
that's what the movie is about.
that is exactly what this movie is about. The bait and switch. So, yeah, Dobbs kind of falls in the running for president. He's such a popular show host. And honestly, Robin Williams is perfect casting for this. This was at a time where he's less like physical, he's older, but still so sharp and so funny, and just a really a guy that can make anybody laugh.
Very fast, very quick. Like
Very easy.
jumping from concept and joke to joke to joke to joke. You know what I mean?
And it's
It's good
like
to see that again.
all ties together in some way. It like makes perfect sense when he says it. So good as a comedian, as just like just verbally as a talker. He's perfect for the role. Then he decides to run for president and becomes kind of a viable candidate, but he's like shaking things up at debates and stuff, you know, talking longer and using his comedy and his team or his like comedy writers, and they're like, but you gotta be funny. And he wants to send a message. That's when it kind of gets too earnest at times, and it's like, okay,
Yeah, super honest.
let's stick with the premise. But he wins, like we said, and this whole controversy with the voting machines, and he didn't really win the popular vote, and he has a crisis of conscience when he finally finds out, even though they've tried to make the lady the whistleblower. It kind of becomes a whistleblower movie. They try to make her seem insane. He doubts her, but he kind of believes her because he likes her. This movie also spoke to a time when, like, the quaint idea that you could be president and a regular person, which was definitely a holdover from the 90s and like the movie Dave that we did a long time ago. Because he's like out bowling with her. He's just on a date with this lady who he likes, who nobody knows, who used the fake FBI badge to like intro to him. And like the rest of the world kind of doesn't know until it's like the news breaks because they're trying to frame her for the. So nobody believes her about the voting machine. It's like, even in 2006, if a presidential candidate was dating somebody, that would have been all over the, even in 2006. So it was very
Yeah, if they went out
okay.
for bowling, that's it. That's everywhere, dog.
Yeah. Like, are y'all together or are y'all not? Because this is now affecting, you know, your whole campaign, rather, you know, before the controversy that surrounded her, you know.
Right, for sure. You're if you are dating someone in a presidential campaign, that person's going to be everywhere.
And in that respect, it's like this movie should have just been rom-com Dave, you know, basically. But I think it would have even been better to lose the love interest and just focus on like breaking down the premise of a non-political person running for and winning the office somehow. Like just imagining how that could have been true, you know?
Yeah, there's ultimately probably a better villain for this film than, like, the computer company that made the voting machine.
Yeah. And I
You
think
know what I mean?
society has created those villains now with like, you make either like the one of the candidates really bad, which, you know, we have examples of that, or you get like a Tucker Carlson or type of person.
Yeah, I think, it is very much of the time. And of the like kind of 90s, which 2006, the 90s weren't too far in the rearview mirror, which is like, there's something incredibly complex that we're setting up, but we'll just personify it in as a evil corporate CEO. You know what I mean? Like,
Exactly, yeah.
it's very like simplistic. There's also something about like this movie and his kind of rants. Which many of which I kind of believe with or side with kind of from a political ideology sort of standpoint, but like m so many of his rants are like, this is clearly a time when people remember the 90s as not too distantly, right? Like, there's a part where he's like screaming about security in the airport, and 20 years later, that's unfortunately still a pro the exact same problem that we live, but
Yeah.
in 2006, they would have remembered only 5 years before when you could walk into an airport and meet your
Yeah, all the
family
way
at
to
the
the
gate.
gate. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not to have to take your shoes off and do all this extra security.
Barely show your ID. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's like, I'm here for a flight. I'm at the gate. Yeah. Very nostalgic movie. And, you know, all the filmmakers were not in the prime of their career at the time. So they probably did have a lot of nostalgia. They were like 60, 55, you know, older, so.
Yeah, but definitely kind of not back into their careers, but definitely not that peak, like you said.
Yeah, where they're like on the cusp, they're like, this is what's happening in society right now. They're more like, this is what used to happen, and that was great, which is a phase I'm beginning to understand a bit.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, 40, you're like, I don't know what these 20-year-olds are doing. They
I
seem
don't understand
insane.
what anything is doing or happening.
Yeah, society's starting to seem crazy. We just got like 10 more years to be in the middle of it. Then we'll be like, back in my day. Except that we're not even already doing that to a bit.
I mean, Honestly, if
Technology
you
moves
look,
faster, so yeah.
and honestly, if you look at millennial culture right now, it's all about 90s nostalgia. So we're definitely heavy in that, like, it was better back in my day. What are these Gen Z kids doing? You know what I mean? Like, no cap. You know what I mean? Like,
It makes sense because, like, we've experienced so much more life in a sense because of our interconnectivity. So, moving through the stages faster, but pretty soon we'll be in uncharted territory. There'll be stages that other generations didn't live.
Yeah, for sure. I that's huge. I'm gonna pull back from that. Christopher Walken. He has some great lines in this movie, and I'm even though I literally just finished a film, having like a hard time remembering the ones that I thought were really clever. There are no like laugh out loud lines, I think, at all in this movie, but there's a couple of lines that Christopher Walken has that it's just like, it's just so smart ass and smarmy, but kind of there's like a clever back end bite to it. I was like, that's a great line. I said that like three times.
It's like that classic 70s Jewish comedy writing that you might think of, you know?
Yeah.
It's like just so, when I say on the nose, I don't mean in a corny way, just like perfect to cut the tension, but also ask a question,
Yeah.
but also lift
Sharp.
somebody up and put them down all at the same time. Just like poignant. It's like you said, super poignant
And it's
lines.
got that like kind of, it's also got that kind of New York East Coast like cadence to it, you know what I mean?
You're doing this like a snappiness to it.
This
That's what it made me think of.
snappiness, definitely, yeah. There's some great Christopher Walken lines. There's also a early scene, and it's not even a big thing. It's very small. But he's like yelling at somebody, maybe Robin, and then he like immediately smiles very charmingly and says, "Sorry, I'm not, I don't like to yell." And it's like that was another part where I was just like, "Man, we so rarely get to see Christopher Walken like big flash a big toothy like charming smile, and he has a really
Not
charming
enough.
smile when he wants to, you know what I mean? So often he's more like a heavy of some kind." So, anyways. Pickups for Christopher Walken in this one.
He got to be one of the good guys in this movie, really.
Which is not always, and not weird. You know what I mean? Like his character wasn't at all in any way weird. He was probably one of the more normal people in the film. So,
Which again, when you
different
think of him,
performance.
you often think of like he's some weird character, or like you said, an evil character, and he was neither, which was good to see. He's delightful.
He is, and it was good to see Lewis Black again. Obviously, he passed away, right?
Let me see.
I thought Lewis Black passed away.
No. He's
I'm
76
wrong.
though.
Oh, okay. Well, I must have confused him with somebody else. I was like thinking about that while watching the movie, like, isn't he gone? But yeah. Anyways, he was another guy from, I think, that era, that like 90s, 2000 eras, a lot of political commentary, a lot of his like humor was really revolved around politics. Did he have one of these sort of like political commentary shows?
I feel like he was would do spots on the Daily Show maybe regularly, or maybe he was like on that staff and was just part of it in a way. Or maybe he was one of the correspondents, that would just come on screen and yell about something.
Yeah, we're pretty much, that's Lewis Black, right? Just start
For sure.
screaming.
For sure. No, yeah, he's still alive and doing a lot of voiceover work, apparently.
Interesting.
Which is great. Great. 76, man. You just go in the booth and record your lines,
That's the
live
life,
it out.
dog.
Yeah, that's a good
That's
life.
the life, bro.
You don't even
Hey,
have to be like, he's just using his, like, they're hiring him to use his voice, not to be like,
right.
whoop, 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 whoop,
Right, he's
he
like
just
a
goes in there and
it's
he's like, I'm
him.
Louis Black, but I'm a character, I'm a dog this time, and, Netanyahu, I don't know, I just feel like he's always saying something political, right?
For sure. That's God, that's a great life.
No black people in this movie,
At
like,
all.
not even like a side character or a security
At
guard,
all.
nothing.
Nothing.
Not even like he's doing a town hall, not somebody asking him questions, I don't think. Like, just nowhere
I
will I
don't think there
really
was one black character with a line.
see black
And
faces.
I don't think I saw anybody in the background either.
And like with Dave, which was made in 94, he goes to the hood. That's like one of his, like, when he's president, stepping in for the president, he has to like meet with these inner city kids. They didn't even have an inner city kid scene. I think he like sings a gospel song. Yeah, he sings a gospel song with this band and Dave. So there's like some minority in it, but in this one, nothing. It's like he's running for president of America, never talks to any Mexicans, black people, Asian Americans, natives, indigenous people. Nobody.
It's a real,
Crazy. Bare
again.
barely talks to women, except for they make his girl he likes seem crazy, and then he's on SNL with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler at the end.
Right. Yeah, it's really of a certain perspective of a certain time. And like I said, definitely a very American political fantasy. And I would include the lack of diversity in that. And it is funny because I feel like, I know we've talked about this personally. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but there's absolutely a like minimizing of like black stories and just the diverse characters and actors and stories between the 90s and the 2000s,
Oh,
and
bro.
that's a whole thing.
No, I mean, I
It's a
think this is
whole,
where we got to go with this. This is what this
yeah,
movie kind of
go
really
for it, go for it,
is about, or
yeah.
like the context around this movie and why even like this movie gets made the way it does and what it brings to mind. Because 2006, the middle of the 2000s, and like black content is like being erased from the air.
Yeah, almost none.
Like, we lose almost all sitcoms. First, they were all shuttled to the WB and UPN networks at the time.
UPN, yep.
Then those networks merged to the CW, and the CW said, we're only doing young adult shows. So we had sitcoms in the 90s on like Fresh Prince was NBC, Martin was Fox, you know,
Family Matters
to
was
Family Matters
A
with CBS.
ABC, 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 yeah,
ABC?
something, yeah.
Well, I think both, because I think it was the TGIF switched maybe at some point.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But there were other shows, and then the WB bought some black shows and UPN,
Yeah.
and then those networks merged and said, sorry, sorry, brother, brother and
Right.
sister. You helped us get to this point, but we don't need you anymore.
Right.
We never really had hour-long shows, but you know, there's always an hour-long here or there where a black person is featured or one of the main cast.
Right.
And we also had a dearth, I believe, of black movies at this time.
Yeah, a huge, absolutely.
And a lot of our black directors did their crossover movies at this time,
For sure.
which they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But you know, we were missing a certain voice for our culture at this time. In the 2000s, as we thought we were entering some post-racial, and like, you know, I always call it the crossover era, but that's part of what it was. Everybody was so like, crossing over was so important at that time.
Yeah, everything was
That was
merging
like,
to mainstream.
considered the goal.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx did this show, or executive produced the show, White Famous, just a few years ago. I mean, just maybe middle to 20 teens, 2017 or something. But that show comes from his experiences in the 2000s. That show was actually kind of late. What, because in the 2000s, that's when everybody was trying to be White Famous. Even, you know, Jamie Foxx was trying to be like, just have that, develop that crossover appeal and really market and sell things to a bigger audience, meaning like white teenagers who were buying hip hop
Right.
or buying black content, you know, black
Yeah,
led
for sure. That
content.
was the years we were in college, so definitely huge
So we lose
crossover.
the sitcoms. We had Chappelle's Show for a short run. Then they chased him out when he was just, you know, at his peak. And we had Boondocks for like three seasons. And then, like I said, we didn't have anything. Directors like, some of our best black directors were doing that crossover movies. And I think it was good for them, but I don't know that It didn't sustain. After this era, they went back to doing like black movies. But like Spike did, like the Summer of Sam movie and 25th Hour, and Inside Man. These are movies with a lead character is not necessarily a black person in all of these movies. Blacks have major roles, but John Singleton did like Four Brothers,
And the Fast and Furious movies.
Fast and Furious. So, same with actors who weren't working with like young black directors. Like a lot of things were happening in that time, which is not to be hypercritical of the choices people made, but
Yeah, it was
nobody
a
filled in,
zeitgeist.
nobody was allowed to fill in the gap underneath them of making black stuff for black audiences. This was, Remember the Titans for Denzel, about being about black and white coming together. Training Day, which he co-starred with Ethan Hawke. It's not really a black movie. It's a cop movie more than, and this starts his run of kind of doing movies where the second lead is a white person.
Yeah, white younger guy.
And not that he hadn't done that before, but it was always like in between a black movie or a Spike Lee movie or even something like The Hurricane, which is so much of singularly about one black man,
Yeah,
But
totally.
Denzel's also supposed to be doing this thing. He's at the top of the charts,
Right, he's an A-lister.
But again, nobody was able to, was allowed to fill in the gaps that were left behind. We didn't get new sitcoms. We didn't get a new star actor to be like, oh, he's going to do these black movies, and then pretty soon he'll be in the position Denzel was in 10 years ago. That just didn't happen for anybody. And I know a lot of guys are, that had certain opportunities in the 90s and in the two early 2000s that didn't take off like they should have their feelings about that era. You know what I mean? That mistakes people made or how they were treated,
I mean, there's a whole missing generation of black actors between the A-listers of the 90s who are still A-listers today and, the people who are closer in age to us, like a Daniel Kaluuya or a Michael B. Jordan or, like if you think about us being 40, those guys probably being mid 30s to 40, and then like those 90s guys being all their late 50s and 60s and stuff. Like there are no, like that whole missing generation of 15 years between like 60 and 45, there are no like A-list black actors that I can really think of.
And I think that guys did the right intro projects, but they just weren't allowed to take off, And one guy that stands out from that era, or two guys, but one guy is, Kevin Hart, who had the opportunities then and they didn't take off, but he was able to stick with it and find a new way and kind of rebrand himself using his stand up, but also using like YouTube and things to rebuild his audience. But like, he had a show on one of the networks. I don't even know his whole story like that, but I know he had a show that had a pilot that was supposed to get picked up that didn't. Right when he was at his hot after Soul Plane, and he was really hot, and it didn't, and he had to kind of start over, like just get back in the clubs and build with stand up. So, and a lot of guys that did good movies, like Denzel directed Antoine Fisher in his time, and I definitely was like, oh, Derek Luke's about to, he's just gonna keep blowing up. He's gonna be in some major movies, and his career kind of didn't head that way, I think, at least from the outside looking in.
And I think a lot of that, like you said, is it just wasn't allowed to. The projects didn't come, the, you know what I mean? Opportunities didn't come. It's interesting to think about, like even like somebody who you could, argue is, on that, I don't know if you say A-list, but a top actor today is like a guy like Mahershala Ali, you know what I mean? But Mahershala is like one of the guys who's like actually from that era, but didn't become bigger until now.
Till
You know what
after,
I mean?
like,
He was on the show The 4400 in 2006. You know what I mean?
Oh,
He was
wow,
like the breakout star of that first season. You know what I'm saying? And like that's a, just an interesting guy if you follow his career, how many like opportunities there were that looked like it was going to be the next big thing. And unfortunately, it seems to have happened again with Blade, but you know what I mean?
He didn't really blow up until 2016.
Right.
And he had some small roles here and there on some pretty big projects, but he wasn't like leading the roles. He wasn't known until
Yeah.
Moonlight, really. So, wow. I
Yeah, I
guess he had some
remember
roles in the
watching
Hunger
it.
Games, in the Hunger Games
Yeah.
movies. Oh, no. You know what? It was House of Cards that really blew him up.
Yeah, House of, I forgot he was in House of Cards. Yeah.
Or at least that's when we paid attention to him and started anticipating the next thing. That's 8 years after.
For
At least
sure.
after this movie came out. I went back to the year of this movie, but
For sure. No, he
after.
had a, I kind of knew him only because he, like the 4400, he had a couple of roles in like, you know, different sci-fi projects around that time. But like, you know what I'm saying? It is interesting to see how somebody's career took them out of the 2000s and into the 2010s before they could really, before black actors and black projects really started picking up like that.
It's fascinating. So yeah, this whole era and this like this movie, and I was actually thinking maybe about doing like a Will Ferrell movie because I think that gives even more to talk about, specifically with how comedy was in this time.
Yeah, sure.
But there's something intriguing about this movie being in 2006, being completely devoid of any like a feeling like it needed to even acknowledge other races in any way, and talking
Yeah.
about America broadly and a president and
We're supposed to be for the people, right? The whole thing.
right. And it's just not, you know, being so scared to talk about it, which I guess it's because it feels like we're kind of in a somewhat similar place now.
It's, you know what, it's funny now that you, to hear you say all that, it almost feels like we're living out the consequences of not of that time period where we had the opportunity to talk about it and we chose to look the other direction. You know what I mean? Yeah, where we in the 90s we brought these things to light and then over the 2000s, we're like, no, profitable content, please.
And I think this is effect of the crossover era because, like I said, all these companies merged. So then we didn't have black time slots or spaces anymore.
Yeah.
And we had BET, but BET wasn't yet really doing its own content.
For sure.
They didn't have the funding and things to really do that. But we had like Thursday nights on Fox was like Martin, Living Single. You're gonna like that's our time.
Right.
You can turn away from Fox during that time, but black people are gonna be turned in. Or we had a UPN on Monday night and you're gonna watch Moesha and whatever other show, the
Right.
Parkers, you know, or the WB, whatever night that was, and you would see Jamie Foxx and the Wayans brothers. So we had our
Right.
slots. When that merged and nobody else picked up black shows and all the networks, CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox, discarded black shows, we didn't have a place to go. So, like, you could talk about these things in the 90s, and that conversation could carry over to a black space on Thursday nights. And the part of the country that cared about that would tune in, or people that just were flipping channels could tune in, and other people could ignore it. But it was just important for us to have our own time slots and spaces for our content. And when we lost
And
that, we lost a voice that existed in society.
yeah, I think that you just summed it up even better, you know, than what I was going to add there. But yeah, to when you don't see your concerns like represented in media, your, you know, the things that affect your actual life, that's going to have no negative consequences from, again, from a cultural, social aspect.
And it makes the youth feel like, well, they just never have a place to congregate. So what happened in the 20 teens social media filled that space.
Mm-hmm.
We had Black Twitter. And on any social media, you could just find Black people to follow and you could imitate and watch them. Like Vine was really big, a lot of the young Black Vine creators. And now we have like Instagram and TikTok. If you start following Black content, you'll get more Black creators. Social media came and filled that space, and we never really got it back. Now we had other shows. Other shows came through and emerged. But the 2000s, it's like we ended the decade with like, I think Donald Glover on Community. It's like the only representation. Like him, Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock. You know, it's just one guy who's on these very white shows. And we still struggle to get hour longs with Black leads or created and written for Black people. You know, those are still always have been kind of few and far between.
Yeah, I feel like there was in those mid 2010s, there was a spate of those Shonda Rhimes and other things, you know what I mean? But even
Well,
still,
Shonda's
that's
funny because, like, you know, I don't watch a lot of Grey's, but I know a Black person isn't always the lead character for a season. You know, usually isn't really like it's, you know, it was Grey, Dr. Grey, right? It wasn't that the main character? Like, that was a white lady. So, you know, but on hour longs, in all fairness, we were still on these shows. We had roles on a lot of shows, but when are we leading, you know? And then you have like a Lovecraft Country, right? That was just a few years ago, but that ends up just being a limited series, you know, or Watchmen, and that's a limited series, one season, you know. So, on a very surface level, this movie kind of represents from Dave, 1994 movie, to 2006, Man of the Year, movies about presidents, comedies, satires about presidents. You see such a change in the priority
And it's so
of
much more cynical.
diversity. And it's super cynical. It's really like the beginning of white people coming down on themselves, or like a divide among whiteness from like liberals and conservatives.
Absolutely. It's certainly, and it's funny to hear how Tim talk about division so much and be like, yeah, things were really divided in 2006. But compared to now, like, I remember it was. It's not alive, but it now makes that look like, freaking sunshines and lollipops.
But it was so true because that's just how things start, right? They always start like small, but they think it's big at the time, but then it didn't get tended to or anything, and you know, it fell apart. I gotta go. We might have to just wrap it up. Let me go,
Yeah.
because my computer is dying,
Oh, no worries.
which is fine because there's not really much else to say about this movie in a sense.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, I was just gonna I was actually gonna move us to see if you wanted to do what's called casting.
Yeah, we might as well because I think we kind of covered this movie. It's not a great movie. It's
No.
a fun role to watch Robin Williams in. The last like third of the movie is kind of a real turn off in a sense.
Yeah, it gets boring.
As it delves into this election scandal thing. And even though this was a good time to watch it, in terms of the election and everything, it's also a bad time to watch it because of the
Right,
election and everything.
because of the election and everything. Yeah. I'm gonna jump into casting. I really only have one piece of casting, so I'm gonna say 2006 Chris Rock.
Right.
Head of state seems like it's probably around that. No, head of state would have been after Obama, right? Maybe.
Head
I
of
don't
state,
know.
but there was another, like, maybe it wasn't Chris Rock. But there was another political, wasn't there? Oh, what was the one Bernie Mac was in? That was head of state, right?
Oh, yeah, I think he was a head of state.
Yeah.
Let's see. Head of state. Oh. No, that's actually before that, 2003.
There you go.
Classic. I'm gonna give them back to back presidential movies.
Yeah, maybe we should have watched Head of State and like a double header thing to I
Maybe.
remember
I
Head of
mean,
State being
there's,
pretty cynical too, actually.
yeah, for sure.
But a much lighter movie. But with some weird side plots too, I feel like.
Yeah, that
And
might be
these movies
an
always want to do
interest.
the president. These movies always want to do like the president fell in love with some regular lady thing kind of thing.
Love that. They love that. They love the idea of the president on the, like you said before, they love the idea of the president on a bowling date, like
Yeah.
something re super regular.
And we've never had a single president that's a single that's available to date. Like they've all had long-term
Yeah,
wives and stuff. So
I
it's
was thinking
totally a
about
fantasy.
it, totally. I was thinking about that this morning. I think like literally 100 years ago, I think President Taft. I had to do a report on President Taft at elementary school. I think he's the
Yeah.
last person who like was voted president single. Also, last president to have a mustache. Boom,
He left his mark.
Bill Taft, everybody.
The Teapot Dome scandal, if you're wondering what he's known for. Yeah, I want to say, I was thinking maybe Jamie Foxx or Chris Tucker, but this was a Rush Hour era. He couldn't have done this in between rush hours. It would have had to have been a much better movie.
I
More
would have
rush
loved to
hour.
have seen this movie starring Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan, though.
Just, I think at that time you could have just put them in any thing together and it would have
It
been
would have been,
amazing.
and it would have been amazing. And it would have been amazing.
Yeah, I guess, but Chris Rock doing Head of State, he kind of literally did this movie before the black version of this movie before this movie.
Yeah, which is funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can go ahead and
Nah,
wrap it up
man.
on Man of the Year, which
Interesting time capsule.
it is an interesting time capsule if you want to know about the priorities of, I guess, yeah, the mid-Bush era.
Yeah. And some very weird reflections on today's political moment. So
Oh,
give it a shot.
you know who I would cast?
Who's that?
Tommy Davidson.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
Hell
he would
yeah.
do his like singing thing, and he, 'cause he, just his
Yeah.
comedic ability to like kind of switch real fast, similar to Robin Williams, but with his big, like his big act outs and impressions and things. I think that would be
Yeah.
funny.
No, that's actually probably the best choice. That's great.
Cool, man.
Gotta cast Tommy Davidson more.
Yeah, man. Under another guy who like came from the 90s, but really on any normal trajectory would have had like
Yeah.
a string of movies as like a second character or even a boyfriend, and probably would have led two or three movies in that time,
For
just like by
sure.
default. Like it's weird that he didn't. It's weird.
Yeah. It just goes to show you, man, how much in that 2000s era, like how all those projects disappeared and just the work for everybody dried up. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Because he is in every way a legend in the black community, but he should just be a bigger legend.
Period.
Period. 2000s, man, it was a rough time. It happened right under our noses.
It sure did. It, unfortunately, all our clothes were just too baggy. We couldn't
Yeah.
see.
We
We
were
just
too
couldn't.
baggy,
We're
too
too
saggy.
baggy, too saggy, right?